Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Wall Dick, well, yeah!
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Little children, please stay away from
mountains and Maine.
Then no one ever wins. They always lose. Stay away from drugs.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Did you see the story of this beer guy? It was at an Iowa State game where there was ESPN, and he had a sign that said he needed beer money. And then it turned into, like, all these people and corporations were...
He had a Venmo on his sign, like his actual Venmo thing, where then, you could actually, if you're sitting at home, put money in his account for beer money.
Right. And then he said that he was going to... Then it got to $1.14 million. And then he said that he was going to donate it all to the Stead Family Children's Hospital in Iowa City. So you go, oh, that's nice. That's a, you know, whatever. He backed into a nice story.
There's that one of the beer companies actually was so impressed, Bush, that they were going to give him a, like, a case of beer that had his face on it. Like, they were going to kind of, they kind of ran with him because it was such a good thing that he was doing, where, you know, what started off as somewhat of a joke turned into this awesome thing for charity.
Yeah,
with tons of money raised.
Yeah, he backed into, like, something that was nice.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty cool story, to be quite honest. Right. Especially when, you know, the perception was, here's just some, you know, dummy looking for beer, and all of a sudden, you know, you got a check for seven figures going to a children's hospital.
Right. So he does all this, And then so the Washington Post and some paper in Iowa, they start going through. He's 24 years old. So they start immediately going through all his tweets because why wouldn't you? And they found that he had racist tweets from when he was 16. He attributes them to the Tosh.0 show, but regardless, they were racist tweets. So now they've exposed him for them, and the beer companies are still going to donate money, but they are backing out of any further support of him because he donated this $1.14 million, and then someone took it upon themselves to go through his social media and in an effort to find something wrong with him. That was the entire thing. This is an interesting story. We can't let it be. Let's go and find something bad about him, and then we can feel morally superior and report it and knock the guy down from when he was 16. And then people like Adolfo yesterday said, well, why don't you never say racist things? And I said, you never make a mistake. You can't make a mistake. On one hand, here I am giving money that I could have kept at $1.14 million or whatever the thing was. And I decided to give it to the charity, but what they did is they said, let's make him feel real bad and besmirch his name.
Well, they make it so just because you said something bad in the past that you are now canceled from having anything positive happen to you in the future. And people change. People learn lessons. But the biggest thing about it all is 16 years old. 16 years old at that age, and he said he was just like, copying and pasting a Tosh.0 joke, a thing that he had heard on there. I mean, some kids have, people don't understand. Some kids are raised in bad environments where they're taught how to act inappropriately. Like the community that they grow up in accepts that, you know, it's okay to use certain terms. And then it's not until they're adults that they get out in the real world and maybe they realize, hey, all of these people I grew up around were wrong. And this isn't the right way to live. But you need to have time to learn that as a human being. If you're 16 years old, most of the time you don't even know, and you probably should. But people, a lot of kids, listen, I grew up in an area where, I mean, as I said, there was still a place that sold Klan robes. And that was just kind of accepted in the town I was in. Now, I was lucky enough to kind of be an outsider because I moved in there as a kid. My parents were like, dude, this is nuts. But all around us were people who just, that's the way it always was. And if they've never lived outside of that, or if they've never lived on their own and they're kids, then it's almost like, how can you fault somebody who hasn't had that experience yet to have to deal with real life?
Or if you're 16 anywhere. I mean, if every time you made a off-color joke that, you know, you made an off-color joke that negates everything that you've ever done is ridiculous.
But I just wonder what the thought process was for this person from this newspaper that you're writing some. Okay, well, either way, you're writing something that's even worse. You're writing something about a positive story. Why would you instantly say, let's look at his tweets from 8 years ago? Like what? Is that just because nowadays this is the type of like instant reaction that we all have to anybody who has any kind of goodwill come their way is tear them down.
And it's not like this guy was going to be famous for the rest of his life.
No, and it was accidental. He didn't want this fame. It just came to him.
No. So what you do is at that point is you go through everything the guy's ever said in social media and you nail him for it. It's like the guy that was on set that got hired for Saturday Night Live. They went, oh, and then Saturday Night Live hired him. They didn't go through his stuff, and then they went through his stuff, and they said, oh, he said something offensive. He doesn't deserve to work.
And by the way, the guy who's 24, the beer kid or man now, he said that when he saw those tweets brought up to him, A, he says he didn't remember ever tweeting them out, and B, he was like, well, this is just awful. I can't believe that I would have done that. And he goes, it was just something that I did as a 16-year-old kid. Can you, I mean, as I said,
he didn't mean it.
Well no.
Come on.
I know, and of course. It's like, well, then don't ever say anything racist. Well, I mean, a lot of us didn't grow up being kids when you had access to social media accounts. And I guarantee you, all the people wagging their fingers, you know, there's a chance that I guarantee you a lot of these people said something stupid, did something that came out the wrong way, or quoted a rap song or quoted some sort of comedian and that would make you look awful today. And I just think, I wish we were at the point where we all went, all right, people can change, let the kid be a kid, he seems remorseful about it, or just not have the instinct to immediately try to drag people down when something good happens to them.
I don't know why you have to feel remorseful about it. I mean, you did it when you were a kid.
Oh, but and you heard the kicker of all this, and this is once again to my point that, you know, people can change. The reporter that dug up all these tweets, immediately people went and found in this guy's past a bunch of racist tweets that he had thrown out there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you threw gasoline on a fire and it hit like a wall and the gasoline bounced right back on you. And I mean, I don't want to say that's karma, but I'm going to say that if you're going to feed that type of paranoia, then you're part of the problem.
All I got to say is erase your tweets. Get off of Twitter. Erase everything that you've ever put on Twitter, because anything that good happens to you, they're going to search everything that you've ever done, and they're going to find a way to cut you off. And they're going to feel morally superior, and then they're going to go, I couldn't have achieved what you just achieved, and I'm going to make sure you can't follow through on it. That's the thing, is I can't do it, so you're not going to do it either. You know, like when people go like, well, if I can't have you, no one can.
And the crazy thing is this kid, you know, or this guy, he's 24 now, who did something really nice and commendable. I mean, dude had over $1 million, and instead of keeping it, although I think that at some point, he said he was going to donate to charity. So
the corporations were not just going to give him all that money.
But I think he had like six figures. I think $100,000 at least was just from people thinking it was funny. So here's a guy who ends up doing that, and now you're absolutely shunning this dude. But I just thought it was hysterical that immediately people went and found this dude's background, the guy who wrote the article, and it's got like N words and, you know, like homophobic stuff, and
just erase it. If you grew up, even if you're an adult, just erase your Twitter timeline, because anything, I can assure you, anything good that happens, even if it's not, you know, if it doesn't make you famous or something, anything good that happens, they're just going to go through and try to knock you down. That's all. It's just what people do. That was how the news decided to cover it. All right, Rich, what's coming up and what happened last night?
Well, it looks like the injury report for the Patriots is essentially a starters list. On top of that, we got some pretty good news when it comes to what's going on with your Boston Bruins, and Pretty Ricky says goodbye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Okay, so I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm excited.
Toucher and Rich.
Hang on to your hat.
Because I got a take a coming.
On Boston's home for sports.
Take.
to the take train?
98.5, the Sports Hub. Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub, Rich. What happened last night?
Well, the Bills game right around the corner. The Patriots are all sorts of banged up with the injury report looking almost like a starting lineup. All limited yesterday were Michael Bennett with a shoulder injury, Tom Brady with that calf thing, Rex Burkhead foot, Nate Ebner groin, Julian Edelman chest and ribs, Dante Hightower shoulder, Ryan Izzo calf, Matt Lacoste ankle, Marshall Newhouse, he's just got the squirts, and Joe Tooney with the shoulder. I'm actually not sure Newhouse has the squirts, but it just says illness, and I always immediately assume that. However, Julian Edelman, he was back at practice, which was good to see, as well as Marcus Cannon being a full participant. On top of all that, the team added a new Patriot, former Jaguars, Eagles, and Browns quarterback Cody Kessler. Right now, a New England Patriot, 6'1", 215 pounds. How many games do you think he has appeared in the last three seasons?
17.
17, which is kind of more than I thought it was.
But if you take a look at the teams he played for, I'm not sure it was necessarily because Kessler was, we have to start this guy. I believe some of those starts were in Cleveland, correct?
Yes, he was. He's
Hugh Jackson 0-for-0-and-forever teams. We don't have a quarterback. Let's start this guy.
He's one of those guys that when you hear his name, you're like, oh, yeah, I know he's played before, mm-hmm. but where was that? Well, yeah, so he's had 12 starts over the last three seasons. And according to Mike Reese, once the Patriots released Brian Hoyer, the probability of adding a third quarterback was always on the Patriots' radar. And one consideration was that the team didn't want to take practice reps away from Stidham. But with Tom Brady limited to practice last week, it meant Stidham was the only quarterback to run the regular offense and the scout team, which likely sparked any discussion about adding another layer of depth. Either that or they saw Stidham go in there and essentially crap himself on television.
You think one pick six? Get Kessler on the phone.
That's right.
I'm not convinced he's better than Stidham. So
I mean, listen, who knows? They've got him back there, but I mean, you want to talk about, you know, blowing your one shot. I'm sure that they haven't completely dismissed Stidham, but you know, your foot was on their throat, and then all of a sudden, hey, how about that? A nice little pick six to warm the hearts of everybody in New York.
Ruined the wallets of all the bettors that took the Patriots.
He did kill. It was a back door. That's right.
He was the only reason. We're going to have the bankroll boys in here. Let's see if anyone lost money.
Well, meanwhile, Tom Brady yesterday, he was speaking to the media about really the only true thing that matters in this world.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. It was a gift. It's pretty sweet. Where's your hydration? I got my water bottle. You got your coffee. You got nothing. Who's got water in here? Water. Smart. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, that was weird. But that's also the TB12 way. One of the first things they told me when I visited there was that I was drinking way too little water. And it's almost like they water shame people, anyone with the whole TB12 deal. Like, that was very strange. Like, he goes, hey, what's your shirt say? Well, I don't know. It was a gift. Everybody drink a water? Who's got water here? Let's hear it for big water. Stay hydrated, Pony Boy. And by the way, this is the same people who said this. This is from the TB12 method book on tape.
When I was growing up and playing outside in the sun, I got sunburned a lot. I was a fair-skinned Irish boy, after all. These days, even if I get an adequate amount of sun, I won't get a sunburn, which I credit to the amount of water I drink. I always hydrate afterward, too, to keep my skin from peeling. When I once told that to my sister, she said, "You mean I don't have to use all those moisturizers and facial products just to keep my skin looking good? I should just drink as much water as you do? I think you should market your TB12 electrolytes as a beauty product." I just laughed.
Yep, the old drink water, don't get a sunburn theory. Thrown out there by the old TB12 method. So there you go. Maybe he was just worried about all the people because the weather's going to be nice in Buffalo. You know, make sure you don't get burned while you're out there watching the 7-point spread. Well, James White was also back at practice after the birth of his son, and he says it was weird watching the game and not being on the field with his teammates.
It was definitely weird. I feel like I wasn't a part of the team for a second, but like I said, those guys, they went out, played well. You know, Rex played a lot. Brandon played a lot. So those guys did a great job, and I said it was a big division win.
Also, James was asked truly the only important question that matters this week, and that is, Are you prepared if someone happens to once again throw a dildo onto the field?
Do you have to worry about any foreign objects
yet? yeah, hope not. Hope not this year. Never know with the fans out there. Never know.
And this just in from the Bankroll Boys.
It's the Bankroll Boys.
There are odds.
There are. Yep.
And fists of cashless checks.
I was sent this yesterday, and they said that the odds on whether a dildo gets thrown onto the field at the game this weekend, yes is a minus 140, no is even. According to Joe Murray, that's an actual bet that you could make.
I would make the bet completely for it. It's going to happen.
I bet, you know what? I would even say multiple dildos.
Yep. Remember when Boomer Esiason wouldn't say dildo?
Yes,
do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And we tried.
He said marital aid.
It was basically I tried to get him over and over and over again. I was admonished by management. I just tried to get him to say dildo over and over and over again, and he would not.
What do you think is the most amount of money you could actually place on that bet? Because
ones where you could control it. Like, yeah. If I put like $1 million on it and threw a dildo,
I'm going out there and throwing a dildo. Right. It's worth $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, I that's got to be one of those where it's, you know, hey, you can put pennies on it, like a penny bet or something like that, just to get people talking. Well, Bills coach Sean McDermott says that this year's Patriots team is hard to plan against for one simple reason.
Yeah, they haven't. I mean, the game's been over by halftime. You watch, if it's normally 68 play film on one side of the ball, and you get 30 decent plays of what their intentions are, you know, so, and then Edelman's out last week by just, you know, middle part of the game somewhere in there, give or take, and we'd like to see him more so we could see what they're, you know, but smaller sample size, but they've earned it. You know, like I said, the game is over pretty much, all three of them by halftime, and, you know, they're a machine.
I'm thinking there's tape on Edelman with basically the same offense in other places other than this season
I think that was a compliment to the team.
Yes,
which
it was.
Is very Belichick-like in that he, and Lou Holtz was the king of this.
Yes.
Is he would be playing Appalachian State.
Notre Dame, the opening game against Appalachian State. Well, you know what? Their quarterback's a three-year starter, and they have two very solid running backs, and their offensive line's underrated now.
What are you saying?
And then Notre Dame would win 70-3, and then they'd move on.
McDermott's being insincere?
Yes, I think that he is being that he is
that the Patriots are good.
Oh Jesus, Rich! I'm saying that he is.
I thought you were playing along there for a second. Apparently not.
No, all right. No, he is.
I did not read the sarcasm.
No, he's not being sarcastic. He's doing what coaches do.
How can
he's
you miss that?
I don't know.
Are you kidding? What? That he's being honest?
All right.
That it's tough to get tape on him because they're blowing everyone out. What, do you think that's gamesmanship?
I think, am I wrong, Fred?
Am I not
reading this right?
Okay, what am I reading wrong here? Because I'm missing this.
He's
I am
overly praising the team.
Well, he said that it's tough to get tape on him because they're blowing teams out. I think that that's a fair assessment. I don't think he's overly praising a team that's blowing teams out.
I think, okay. It's what coaches do.
Well, I mean, yes, but I think in this case, he's being honest. Now, if you're talking about Bill Belichick talking about the Miami Dolphins, that's someone being insincere and pumping someone's tires who doesn't deserve it. The Patriots, he's talking about them being a machine.
There's no reason to be outraged by any of it. And again, it's early in the morning, so I'm still a little foggy, so I don't think I have the mental capacity to work my way through this to get back to where we were before. But needless to say, I think we're kind of all on the same page here. There's no reason to take a adversarial stance here.
Well, I just don't get what you guys... I just couldn't figure out what you guys were talking about.
You want to take a whack at this?
Coaches overly praise things. Obviously, the Patriots are very good. He's saying it's hard to get tape on them because they're absolutely so good. And that probably is overpraising. And then when John said that you could get a video of Julian Edelman from, you know, years back... Yes, it was a bit insincere. He was saying that they're so good that you can't get tape is a fallacy.
Okay. Well, McDermott, by the way, he has been saying, the dude has been covering himself in peanut butter talking about the Patriots. So, to your point, he has been very, very...
That's
very,
the point. That's why he brought up Lou Holtz.
Because Lou Holtz was notorious for...
But he would praise bad teams. He
praises everybody, but like Bill Belichick does it. He praises...
Well, that's true.
But coaches do that.
Yes.
They don't. They go out of their way not to give bulletin board material for the other side.
Right. And so if you're playing a team as good as the Patriots, he's over-exaggerating the idea that there is no tape on them because they are so very dominant.
Do you think this is going to be as close as they're saying?
I think it's going to be points. Very low scoring.
I think Buffalo's defense, which very quietly has been very, very good the first three games, will give them a chance. The problem is, and will continue to be, Josh Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh Allen sucks.
I mean, he's done fine first few games. He's clearly better. Well,
he was really bad in the first game.
I know. I understand that. But having watched the last two games, it's a significant portion of the last couple of games, he's better this year than he was last. Let's put it that way.
That is without a doubt. But and they might struggle keeping him in the pocket because he's big and he can run. But it's going to be low scoring. So if it's low scoring, maybe you don't win by that much.
Yeah, Patriots should win, but not by 20.
Now, right. Are we giving the Bills defense a little too much credit when you take a look at the teams that they've played? I mean, I've heard all week that, no, you can't say anything, you know, good about the Patriots defense because they haven't really played anybody. But the Bills haven't either, and they've given up points. I mean, they gave up 17 points to the Bengals.
The Jets game, they only gave up one touchdown.
Yeah, the first touchdown they scored was a pick six off a deflection.
Yeah, Mosley scored in that game.
Okay, but that's the Jets.
I understand, but the Jets had Darnold at that time.
Okay. Right. Giants with Eli Manning, they gave up 14 points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is another situation.
It's like the Patriots. They're shutting down teams they're supposed to shut down. You can't penalize him for that.
Well, Bengals got 17 points. It's not quite shutting down any world beaters.
17 points in an NFL game? That's pretty good.
Against the Bengals?
Yes.
Yes.
Are the Bengals one of the worst teams in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay, so we're...
I think you're comparing them to Miami, which is not fair. I mean, Miami's trying to lose. They have nobody on offense. They're terrible. What? Cincinnati at least has a couple of guys that can catch the ball and make plays.
And the Jets.
They actually technically have an NFL quarterback as well. So, I mean.
And the Jets did nothing against them with their starting quarterback. So, yeah. And the Bills' defense was pretty good last year.
I actually just forgot that Marvin Lewis wasn't the coach anymore.
Yes.
Because I'm just so used to keep going, Marvin Lewis. No, it's Marvin Lewis' team.
No,
they forgot.
No, Buffalo.
They finally got rid of him.
Buffalo's defense is legit. All right. What's coming up, Reg?
Rick Porcello says goodbye.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins continue their preseason with another win, 2-0 over New Jersey at TD Garden last night. Yaroslav Halak stopped 29 shots for the shutout. David Backes added a goal. Bruins wrap up the preseason Saturday at home against Chicago. Patriots are out at practice yesterday in Foxborough. They got a road game with Buffalo on Sunday. Tom Brady expects a real tough day against the fifth-ranked defense in the National Football League.
You know, they've been ranked up there for a while now. I think they're good at all levels, so that's the challenging part. They have a good front. Very good at linebacker, very good in the secondary, play the pass well, tough, physical, stout defense, well coached, fundamentally sound, they play well at home.
Brady was limited again at practice with a calf injury. Julian Edelman also limited, along with Dante Hightower, Michael Bennett, and six others. Patriots have also signed free agent quarterback Cody Kessler. Red Sox beat Texas last night 10-3. Rick Porcello went six innings. He allowed three runs in what may be his final start in a Sox uniform. And the New England Revolution got late goals from Gustavo Bo and Carlos Heel, and they escaped Portland with a 2-2 draw late last night on the left coast. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by IBEW Local 103 and Nika Electrical Contractors, powering the Sports Hub studios. Visit thepowerprofessionals.com. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 7 o'clock.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, Rick Porcello, he gets himself a W in possibly what might be his last game as a Boston Red Sox. This is it right here. Where are you? Here we are.
Heidi driving to right field off the bat of Rafi Devers. Did he get another one? Yes, sir. That's gone. Number 32.
That is Rafael Devers with his 32nd home run of the season. And Rick Porcello, as I was mentioning, had himself quite a game as well.
Swung on and missed. He struck out Fedorovich. There's number 1,500 for Rick Porcello. The 29th among active pitchers. The 1,500.
That is one energized crowd.
That's one energized stat right there. Well, 29th among what?
Who did they play last night?
They played the Rangers yesterday.
Yeah, the Rangers had three guys take batting practice yesterday.
Yeah.
I read that.
Yep.
I saw that on Twitter. They had three guys take batting practice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Rick Porcello was sitting there pitching what might be his last game on the team. He gave the Red Sox enough to beat the Texas Rangers 10-3. He allowed three runs the first inning and was nails for the following five. And after the game, he was asked about where his future might lie after this season.
Again, like I said, I don't get too emotional and close the door on anything. Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason. But, from the bottom of my heart, it's been an absolute pleasure to wear this uniform and pitch for the Red Sox organization the last 5 years for Mr. Henry and Mr. Warner and all these guys, our coaching staff, all these players. It's as good of a group as you're going to find. I know this year hasn't worked out the way we wanted to, but it doesn't take away from the special human beings we have in this clubhouse. And that's really, for me, sitting there and just soaking that in was nice.
Well, Alex Cora couldn't help but praise Mr. Porcello on what might be his final game.
Like we talk about it in spring training, we know that, because of the nature of the business, not everybody's going to be together. He's a free agent. We don't know where what's going to happen, but we're very proud of what he's done throughout his years here. There's a guy that, for me, he means a lot, not only on the field, what he did last year and the way he fought this year, but in the clubhouse, he's one of those guys that I rely on.
Sox are going to give him 5 years, $100 million.
Honest to God, I think he's back next year. Wow. And the reason being, obviously, you don't know what you're going to get in sale. Price is undergoing wrist surgery. And
what do you give him?
He's back. Well, I tell you, he's making, $22 million this year? Mm-hmm. You give him less than half of that. And honestly, you give him a one-year make good. He's only 30 years old. And unlike a lot of pitchers on his staff and in the majors, he takes the ball every 5 days. He hasn't missed a start in four years.
He'll get more than that somewhere else.
Yeah, what did Eovaldi get?
That's different.
Why?
Eovaldi was coming off a superhuman performance in the World Series. And yes, he's oft injured, but he can throw 99.
Yeah.
Porcello is not that. No. Porcello is
But you just
durable.
Said he's durable, which yes, sometimes you need.
Well, so you need. He's an innings eater at the back end of your rotation. I don't think he's going to get more than $10 million.
He's like Wade Miley.
Well, I think Miley's better than this guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that you don't pay Wade Miley $2 trillion.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You pay him $8 to $10 million because that's the going rate for a durable pitcher at the back end of your rotation, and you give him 1 year, especially since he's coming off the worst year of his major league career. So I bet you the Red Sox bring him back, or try to.
I think it'd be difficult for 1 year to get him, but whatever. Yeah, they could bring him back.
I don't know. He just had an ERA of 5.5 this season. I don't know how many teams are going to give him a loss.
Yeah, but then you look and he had the Cy Young. And
that was 4 years ago.
I know, but then, I mean, people need pitching and back of the rotation pitching.
But I understand, but if you're any club and you look at a guy who's coming off an ERA who just turned 30 of 5.5, you're like, I'm not giving this guy more than a year. I think he gets 1 year. It's for short money. And it's a prove-it type of thing.
Maybe his agent's smart and is going to float something out there that he was playing injured this year.
Oh, sure. I'm an agent, that's what I do.
Which I have a feeling that might end up getting him a decent amount of money. As Fred said, they're going to look at his past history, and they're going to actually look just the year beforehand. And they're going to go, all right, well, let's see. We need, and Fred's right. I mean, look at how much money these guys, fourth and fifth in the rotation, are getting.
I know, but this is, it's scary when you turn 30 and your career goes south. And I think that'll be a big warning sign for a lot of teams. I bet you the Sox can bring him back.
Also, any rumors of Theo Epstein coming back to the Red Sox to fill Dave Dombrowski's role may have been shot down yesterday when Theo himself seemed to indicate that he's not leaving Chicago. Yesterday, he dismissed any speculation on his return by saying, quote, there's nothing to that story. I'm here. We have a lot we need to work on to get back to the level we're accustomed to. I'm invested in that. And then he turned around and watched his Cubs get eliminated last night. So not quite sure whether it's going to be his choice, whether he's going to be looking around for
a good point.
Something to do. But I finally got around to reading that Buster Olney article about how the Red Sox may have scared away a bunch of decent GM candidates, and the perception that this is an awful place to work. Have you read this yet?
It's
pretty good.
I didn't finish it.
It's pretty interesting because Buster Olney, as we said, I mean, he's fairly credible. The guy's very connected. And he said, Ben Sherrington followed Theo Epstein as general manager of the Sox after the 2011 season. And over the next 3 years, the team fostered what might have been the best farm system in baseball. Matt Barnes, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Mookie Betts all developed effectively, with infielder Xander Bogaerts just ahead of them. Meanwhile, at the big league level, a series of short-term free agent signings paid off, and the Red Sox won the 2013 World Series. For all that success, Sherrington was demoted in the summer of 2015, effectively fired as the head of baseball operations. His replacement was Dave Dombrowski, who did the bidding of ownership and worked aggressively to augment the team, using assets from Sherrington's fertile farm system and the team's substantial financial resources, adding Chris Sale, Kimbrell, David Price, and others. The Sox won the World Series in 2018 after 119 wins and arguably the greatest performance in franchise history. And in less than a year, Dombrowski was fired. Two World Series titles in 6 years and two executives with two very different personalities operating very differently, both dismissed. These decisions loosely frame the industry perception of the Red Sox as a chaotic company, a miserable place to work. Boston owner John Henry needs to understand this, because it's why some of the people he'd probably love to consider as possible replacements for Dombrowski privately dismiss the idea out of hand. And they go in, and the article's called What John Henry Needs to Know About His Perception of His Own Team. And he talks to all of these, you know, anonymous candidates off the record, or on the record, but anonymously. And all of them are saying, man, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to show up.
Bring me Branch Rickey.
Branch Rickey. You want to get Branch Rickey out of here?
Give me him.
You think that would make effective roster moves, would he?
He would.
Okay, thank you very much.
Jeeves, he's passed. Boo.
They said a wide-held view in other front office is that well-liked Red Sox president Sam Kennedy stands as a thin buffer between the team developing to the level of the Mets, the team generally regarded by rival executives as baseball's model for dysfunction. Quote, if Sam ever walked away, said one official, the whole thing would be a complete mess.
If he walks away, it will be with two broken knees.
You think so?
Sam goes nowhere. I put X on it.
Would he ever come back, Theo Epstein, if let's say he does end up getting fired?
Yes, he would. I think he would.
I don't think
that. Why do you think that?
Because
I don't think that he's going to get fired.
No.
Let's say
he is fired. Just let's play along here. Let's say he is fired. So he, I think, would absolutely come back here. A, he knows the lay of the land.
So he could live in Brookline again.
That's right. B, he would have the complete trust of ownership, which was the problem. And C, Larry Lucchino is no longer here. That was the big reason why Theo left, because Theo wanted more power, and Larry was the team president and wouldn't give it to him. So now that Larry's no longer here, Theo would get the power he wanted over the organization, and John Henry likes him.
So I think there would be no trouble.
How
with
funny
Theo coming
it,
back
is
here.
It that that farm system of his and all those players that they said were going to dominate for years and years and years have all fallen on their faces?
Yeah, how many of the prospects that, that Dombrowski traded away? I haven't looked, so I don't have an answer to this. How many of all of those prospects have come back to really play well?
What is it? What was it? With
you Mikata. Traded four for Mikata's sale. Moncada this year broke out after two or three. That guy Dubon, who you traded to in the Tyler Thornburg mess, is now in San Francisco.
The guy they traded for the lefty, Pomerantz, is no good.
Yeah, he's missed the last two seasons, maybe three.
Anderson, Travis Shaw.
Anderson, yes. The Shaw and Dubon for Thornburg was a mess.
Yes.
But again, when you made that trade, was anyone like, oh my God? Same thing with Kimbrel. I think people were on board. Well, you weren't, but I was. I was on board with that trade.
Yeah, he's been great this year.
He closed out a World Series championship team.
Yeah, and then this Kimbrel. Year he cost
no, this
the
year
Cubs,
he's been horrible.
He cost
horrible.
The Cubs a playoff
spot. Yes, he
spot.
Did.
He absolutely
yes, he did.
All right, so we'll be right back, Rich. What will we discuss?
Let's get to those Bruins who looked pretty good last night.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Dutcher and Rich. And Rich, what is going on?
Hey, look who's having a good preseason.
Lindholm, far side. To the slot, Backes. Backhand, he scores! David Backes unleashed a backhand, and the Bruins have themselves a 2-0 lead.
Old man Backes scoring yesterday.
Congratulations. He can do it from the ninth floor when he plays knee hockey.
I guess that he has had a pretty good preseason, and I think he's been taking... What was it, John?
Steroids?
Like, maybe, I'm not sure, but I know that he has been taking like extra steps in order to try to get back to the form that he was in. Does he have like a skating coach that he's been working with too?
Yeah.
And basically, put it this way, at least he's not fading into the sunset. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, it seems like he actually cares,
no, he cares
and is embarrassed by how
last
like,
year. Well, last year he went to Cassidy and he said, tell me what you want me to do.
I'll do anything, however you want to use me. I'll do it.
So you can't fault him on. I mean, he wants to be better. By the way, I saw George Surratt here at the station after the show because I've been drinking these smoothies. I don't have one today. And around 9:45, they start kicking in.
Sure.
And I saw George Surratt.
Judd Surratt.
Judd Surratt. Right. And he wouldn't, like, stop talking to me.
and you had a place to go.
And I wanted to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he was, like, talking to me about golf. And I'm like just thinking in my head, like, shut up. Just shut up. Just be quiet. Stop it. And he wouldn't stop talking to me, and so I just had to bolt. I just had to get out of the, get out of Dodge. Like,
oops, gotta go duty.
Yeah, I just was like, I gotta make waste.
Well, Jeremy Lauzon got in a fight last night. That was kind of fun. Halak pitches a shutout. He looked pretty good. He's looked, you know, obviously good. Well, in the
don't
preseason.
Skip over Lauzon. He beat the crap out of some guy.
Yeah, he looked really,
last night.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I mean, he's a good defenseman, but the problem is the Bruins have 8 NHL defensemen ready to go. Lauzon's not one of them. There's no spot for him.
Like, Lauzon's one of those guys that, you know, you don't really pay attention to, but whenever he's out there, you're always like, yeah, he's pretty good. Like, yes. I mean, he seems to, you know, not F up. You know,
yeah, he's
he
an NHL caliber defenseman. The problem is the Bruins are loaded with those guys.
And
so
the problem is that if you trade him and you can't trade him for NHL talent because they can't afford it.
But is there anything weirder or more insane than in hockey when someone scores a goal with their face?
Stanika fires, and it's kicked over to the far side by Blackwood. Rebound deflected home. Jack Stanika, I think, got a piece of that. Did it go off his mug and glance in? That's going to count. Bruins 1, Devils nothing.
Yeah, he had it right down the runway for some repairs.
Yeah, so right after the puck just shoots off of his face and goes in the net, he leaves the ice and says, maybe I need to get this looked at.
And you know what? He got stitched up and was back out there in the second period. Why?
Hockey guy.
Because he's a hockey player. That's why. That's
Fred, right. You know, maybe me, let's go out. You, Billy and I will go out and play golf. Sure. I'll take your club. No, we can play anywhere. You know, Billy wants to get out there. And I'm thinking, all right, Judd, I got to take a dump. All right, please. This is an emergency. I've given in. I've conceded that this has to happen, which makes it all the more pressure-packed. We could go anywhere. We could go to Blue Hills. We could go to blah, blah, blah. All right, Judd. Good.
I got a turtle poking out.
No, I have a tsunami.
So is this the first time that he's hearing about the reason why you bolted, or did you explain to him why you
he
were
emailed
bolted?
Him afterwards.
Yeah, I emailed him and I said, no, I wrote him a greeting card. I said,
a Blue Mountain greeting card.
I said, dear.
What did that look like?
I said, dear Mr. Surratt, I apologize so much for our brief conversation at the station. I saw him and I'm just like, oh, Jesus. Here we go.
Guys,
when are you, Billy and I, going to get out there and hit him around? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, anytime you want. I'll take you to the club. Well, no, we don't have to go to the club. We can play anywhere. We can play here or there or here or there. Oh, okay. Bye. I got to go. Well, you know, how was the summer? Well, Judd, it was fine. I have to take a dump.
Should have said to him,
I had a lot of diarrhea.
Yeah. Got a lot of diarrhea.
Should have said that.
I said, my body's not used to these fruits and vegetables. Can you please, sir, let me be?
Well, how'd it go? Went wild?
You were here. I came back up. I was still alive.
Oh, I didn't realize you had just
no. I the last
pulled a Jeff Daniels in Dumb and Dumber.
No, the last two, the last two meetings we've had, I've had to skedaddle for a little while.
I'm proud of you using the bathrooms here.
I went down to very lucky yesterday. Young Nicholas, not so lucky. I the first day I went down there, there was someone peeing, so I had to. I opened the door and left. And much to that guy's probably like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And
see, this bathroom's more crowded, but the weirdo factor goes up by about tenfold going to the bathroom
downstairs. It's in the back in the corner. It's weird. Yeah, you're hidden.
That's where like the weird guys go.
Yeah, that's where I go. So I'm down there and I wash my hands.
Like people shower down there and stuff?
No, there's no shower in that one.
I think there is.
I thought there was one downstairs.
There's in the one downstairs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a door as you walk in on the right-hand side.
I didn't know there was a shower.
Yeah, the weirdo factor goes through the roof.
Maybe there's someone living in there, but I went and I was washing my hands and someone walked in and I said, the luck. And then young sickly Nicholas went down there and the man was still in there.
Ooh.
But I heard two guys, Nick told me that there was two guys next to each other and the one up here. Or maybe it was Dan who
like
told
peeing?
Me. No. They were double deucing it.
It was
why is that weird?
full bore, and the two, you know, everything was full. I walked in and I had to wait in line in the office.
It's the hottest club in town?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If there's a if there's two stalls and one's being used, what, am I just going to stand there and wait for the other guy to go? No,
no,
I'm using the stall.
You leave the bathroom and then you just wait. No,
you leave
just,
the building, yeah.
You hold your breath.
Dan leaves the building. Dan will not go number two here in any circumstance. And he drives down from another state.
Exactly.
So he'll drive up
very quickly sometimes.
He'll drive up to Maine to take it.
You're looking for truck stops.
Well, that's yeah.
All that's for another reason, Rich.
All right. You know what? The people of Brookline are awful, and we have evidence. We'll have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.